passage to read to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and following. And most people seem to apply this only to marriage, and it's not really true because I'm not really speaking about marriage here. But in any case, it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." I think that speaks to a lot of our lives, not just Halloween, but it does speak to Halloween as well. The question is, as Paul says elsewhere, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And specifically, what we need to think about is what's beneficial to my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so much of this, let me say that Cindy said something that's extraordinarily important, that I know that Miriam and I will be practicing when we have children. And those of you, pretty much everyone here, I think, has already had their children go through. But maybe to give wisdom for the next generation to follow, that you tell them early, you tell them often what it is that you believe and practice as a family, so that they can know and that they won't be teased at school because of it. And there may be some of that, but they can know, you know what? It's important for me to know this. In my family, it's important for me to know this. This is the way it is. It's simply the way it is. Because my family, my parents have been so open with me about their struggles in this area. Cindy outlined the first of what I think are three possible Christian responses to the phenomena of Halloween. Three possible Christian responses. And the first is complete abstinence. And that is, let's stay as far away from it as possible and not have anything to do with Halloween. And that is usually based on exactly what it is that Cindy said. That is a possible and is a good response to Halloween. And there are other responses as well. Let us not think that there can be only one response to Halloween. The second is partial acceptance. And that is trying to take the good and leaving the bad. The hard part of that is that it's difficult to remove those aspects which are good and fun and playful without having the aspects of evil there. And it requires careful thought and discussion. Something here might be maybe dressing like a Bible character, passing out tracts, etc., things of that nature. Not necessarily going trick-or-treating, but when they come saying, you know, I want to give you this treat, but because I've been blessed by Jesus Christ, and kind of changing the holiday on the kids who come, it's a possible Christian response. Number three, there's complete abstinence, there's partial acceptance, and then there's parallel activities. And that's something that our church has done, that's something that a number of churches in the area have done. Having maybe a harvest party, or a celebration akin to All Saints Day or a Reformation Day rather than having a Halloween party. But let's not kid ourselves here. If you have a party on October 31st from 6 until 8 o'clock in the evening, what you're having is a Halloween party, whatever you call it. If you're going to have dress up and candy on any time around Halloween, it's a Halloween party. Let's not kid ourselves. That's what people are going to perceive it as. And it requires careful discussion. It requires thought. And it requires understanding. And the seeking to be understood from everyone around us. So those are the three possible Christian responses. Complete abstinence, partial acceptance, parallel activities. The fourth option is not an option for Christians. So I didn't include that in this. And that is full acceptance of everything that there is for Halloween. It's not an option, given the pagan roots, given the witchcraft and the symbolism that's in so much of Halloween. is simply not an option. Here's some cautions. Number one, we can disagree on this issue and get along in Jesus Christ. It's possible that different people will have different convictions when it comes to Halloween. But we need to learn to get along in these matters and not pass judgment on each other. We must look carefully into matters like this, what Paul might call a disputable matter. And it is a disputable matter in some areas, because I can make... This is kind of the funny thing for me, because I've done all of this research and I'm not fully persuaded yet as to what my position is here. But I could make a very strong case for exactly what Cindy said, and I agree with her in so many things. And I could make a very strong case for the idea that Halloween is, for the most part, a secular holiday now, completely devoid of religious meaning, and we can very easily separate good from bad. I could make that argument. But in these disputable matters, as Paul might call them, we have a command. And it's found in Romans chapter 14, verse 5. And specifically what he's talking about here is the idea of Sabbaths. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. So that's the dispute right there. And he says this, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And then he goes on to say many, many things about that. But the phrase there, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind, means to me that we should take these types of questions very seriously. We should look into them and wrestle with them in prayer. And then when the Lord has laid on our conscience the thing that we must do, whatever our decision, we must explain it very carefully to the children. We must be consistent to our conscience, but also consistently open-minded. Not that, okay, I'm going to remain open-minded, that I might change my mind. Not even open to change mind, okay? But open for discussion's sake. Open-minded to know that other people can hold an opposing view and still be okay in Christ. For discussion's sake, we must be open-minded. And so also that we might tolerate other Christians who don't have the same convictions. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about in Romans 14. There were people, I'm sure, that could make a great case that Saturday was supposed to be held as a sacred, holy day, that we should do nothing on Saturday. And there were people over here saying, in Christ, it's all a wash. He has fulfilled the Sabbath. I keep it in Christ. I don't keep it now by refraining from work. And so they had the dispute. Each one had great scriptures they could point to. Great theology they could point to. And Paul says, you know what? You need to be consistent to your conscience. Don't violate your own conscience. But on the other hand, don't violate your brother for whom Christ died by the tearing down of your words. So, are there any questions? I don't know if I can answer them, but are there any questions or discussion when it comes to Halloween? I think it's important to point out in regard to the first thing you mentioned that when typically we think of a witch, we think of tall pointed hat, nose out to here, and eyebrows, and you know, wart, doing the I'll get you my pretty and your little dog too stuff, okay? That is not what a witch would look like or act like. They don't look like and act like witches in The Wizard of Oz. They are witches in our society, and pretty much throughout history, have been nature worshipers more than anything else. Generally nonviolent, but that's not always the case. And what they would do is perform. It's really the silliness. It's such silliness. Do like dances and weird chants and mantras in the middle of a field out in the middle of nowhere, trying to appease the thunder god or whatnot. It's really silly, superstitious, mumbo jumbo, out of the ordinary, out of whack, totally stupid, antichrist stuff. But it doesn't look like the Wicked Witch of the West. And that's probably why they're picketing or whatever, because Halloween makes a witch look like this mockery rather than the truth. And really, I prefer the mockery, but in any case. Absolutely. I probably misspoke. You're correct. In that, they would do things that to us look ridiculous. What about Harry Potter? Harry Potter is bad fiction. I think she made most of it up and had help from Holiday. She made up a lot of stuff. What she did have to research was Middle Ages alchemy. She did a lot of research into that. Alchemy was, most people think of alchemy as the task of trying to turn lead into gold, you know, through chemical means. But that wasn't just it. It was entirely spiritual in what they did. And there's a lot of alchemy in the Harry Potter books. The real danger of the Harry Potter books is not that somebody could pick it up and use it as a witch's manual, because you couldn't. The spells in it, I've looked into it a little bit, the spells in Harry Potter are just, it's Latin, bad Latin at that, things of that nature. So it's not going to do anything. But the danger is that kids will, and we see it today, they'll pick it up, they'll get hooked, and they won't just keep it with Harry Potter, but they'll start looking into witchcraft, Dungeons and Dragons, witchcraft in the bookstores. They'll start looking it up and become involved in the occult because they want to be Harry Potter. That is danger. We have seen such a rise in teenage witchcraft over the last decade, and it's largely in part due to Harry Potter. Yeah, I regard it as bad fiction for the most part, but it's dangerous, as is a lot of things. You could make the same case for Star Wars. Right, and that is because people go incredibly insane with the drinking on Halloween. It just makes sense to me, and I don't know if there's any statistics on this, but if there is, and it's a fact, that there's more candy sold at Halloween season than any other season of the year. It makes sense to me that if the kids are eating the candy, the adults are eating, so to speak, adult candy in just as great of quantities. And so the drug and the alcohol abuse would be skyrocketing around that time. And I suppose one leads to the other.
What a shame.
I was reminded of something in regard to Harry Potter that may be pertinent, maybe something to know, in that a lot of people call me, and I've been called somewhat of a hypocrite for not liking Harry Potter but loving The Lord of the Rings. And people don't understand the distinction in philosophy behind the two fantasy genre books. And this is the simple thing that I point to. In Harry Potter, and indeed in Star Wars, is the same thing, so it's very dangerous. You have to be able to show the children what is wrong in the entertainment that we watch. But in Harry Potter, the evil and the good both use the same magic. They use the same methods. Even Harry Potter, he wins by deceiving and by breaking the rules. That's very dangerous to teach our kids. Very, very dangerous. Because it says there is no distinction between light and darkness. I think even I haven't really read the books over and over, but Harry's wand and the big bad guy's wand, they're the same type of wand even. And so what we have here is there's no way for us to point in Harry Potter and say, look, that's good, and look, that's evil. The only distinction is that one person is trying to hurt the other person. And I can hurt someone else in trying to keep from being hurt. That's dangerous. And it's the same thing in Star Wars, that there's two sides to the same thing. One's good and one's evil, but we call one good and one evil just for convenience sake. One's not really good. One's not really evil. But see, there is good and evil. There is. And we need to tell our kids that. And that's what I like about The Lord of the Rings. There is good and evil. There is a distinction between good and evil. The evil side, in fact, this is the whole basis of the story. The good side, when they come in contact with and when they acquire the evil person's great weapon, they cannot use it. Because even if they tried to use it for good, they would end up doing evil. That's the whole point. You cannot use evil means for good results. Because if you try to do even good with evil means, you will end up producing evil. There's a huge difference in philosophy between the two books. And so if I had young ones, I'd be pushing them one way and not the other in their reading. It somehow feels more pure, too, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it looks more like it would be. It was scary as well.
It was. It's a scary movie. But the philosophies, the positions that it holds are very Christian, built on a very Christian ethic. And, in fact, the guy who wrote it was a close friend of C.S. Lewis.
Oh, C.S. Lewis. His books are
the same way. So. Any final thoughts?